Grover Beach and is available on live streaming on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is open now. Tonight for our flag salute, we have, it'll be presented by Harper Leon. So why don't you come up here and stand up here? Harper is 11 years old and in the fifth grade at Fairgrove Elementary School. Harper likes art and social studies in school and enjoys hanging out with her friends and playing on the playground. She enjoys living on the Central Coast because she thinks it is beautiful here and she loves to swim in the ocean. Isn't it cold? It's really cold. After high school, Harper would like to work at Disneyland. I used to work at Disneyland. Sorry. We'll talk later. Outside of school, her hobbies include playing outside with her puppy, Nova. She loves to swim and play board games with her family. And she also likes to go to work with her dad. Harper is accompanied by her dad, Mike, mom, Ashley, and sister, Brooklyn. So if you can all join me in standing for the flags. All right, thank you. City Clerk Sims, roll call, please.
Councilmember McCrory Driscoll.
Here.
Councilmember Tuggle.
Here.
Councilmember Wyrick.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor D.
Here. Closed session announcements. City Attorney Lamelli, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. At 9:51 p.m., Mayor D. reconvened the meeting in open session with all council members present and announced that a motion was made by Councilmember Tuggle to join and enter into the Alvogen opioid settlement. Motion was seconded by Councilmember Wyrick. The motion carried on the following roll call vote. Councilmember McCrory Driscoll, yes. Councilmember Tuggle, yes. Councilmember Wyrick, yes. Mayor Pro Tem Robert, yes. And Mayor D., yes.
Thank you so much. All right, now on to agenda review. Council members, do any of you have any questions or changes you would like to make? If no, can I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope, we have consensus. Now we will move on to the ceremonial calendar, and for this we have the Proclamation for Recovery Month, and I ask Councilmember Wyrick to please read this for us.
Thank you, Mayor, and it's my privilege to read the Proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council proclaiming September as Recovery Month. Whereas National Recovery Month, also known as Recovery Month, which started in 1989, is a national observance held every September to promote and support new evidence-based treatment and recovery practices, and the dedication of service providers and communities who make recovery in all of its forms possible. And whereas the behavioral health is an essential part of one's overall health and wellness. And whereas recovery from substance use disorders and mental health challenges is a courageous journey that deserves recognition and celebration. And whereas treatment and support services are available to help individuals achieve and sustain recovery, demonstrating that recovery is possible. And whereas the Grover Beach community is committed to promoting awareness, support, and access to services for those in need of recovery. And whereas we recognize four dimensions of recovery from mental health and substance use disorders, which are health, home, purpose, and community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gurra Beach City Council does hereby officially proclaim the month of September as Recovery Month. And we call upon all residents, community organizations, healthcare providers, businesses, and educational institutions to join in supporting individuals on their journey to recovery and to take action to remove the barriers that hinder access to treatment and support services.
Thank you so much for reading that. Did any council members want to make any comments on that at all? Thank you so much for reading it. I really appreciate it. Okay, now we will move on to, or we do not have any presentations today, so we will move on to public communications. Our meetings are designed to proceed in an organized and efficient manner to effectively conduct city business. The council welcomes and values public comments, which can be shared at the designated time from the podium using the microphone. The council requests that all comments be addressed to the council as a whole and that speakers refrain from directing individual comments at staff members. To maintain an orderly process, we kindly ask all attendees to refrain from creating disruptions during the meeting, interrupting speakers who are addressing the council, or impeding the council's ability to conduct business. Should disruptions occur, the council may need to take certain measures such as calling a recess, clearing the chambers, or in rare circumstances, canceling the meeting. We greatly appreciate your understanding and cooperation in maintaining a productive environment that serves our entire community effectively. During this time, the council will allow for public communication. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on or discuss items not on the agenda. So I do have some speaker slips here. We'll start with Brenda Auer, followed by Stephen Hanamaikai. Yeah? Thank you for writing it on there. Thank you. Yeah.
Moving slow. Haven't got my sea legs back yet. Good evening, council members, neighbors, people watching on TV. I'm Brenda Auer, a resident and local business owner of Auer Real Estate. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. We are all one nation under God. We all said that tonight. I ask you to join me in bowing your heads and praying to whatever form of God that you worship. Dear Lord, we are grateful and we thank you for the love you show us. We thank you for your graciousness and loving us, even at times when we miss the mark. I pray that you help each one of us share your love with our neighbors and put your hands on this council that they may take and be able to make decisions for their neighborhood and receive the love that will be bestowed on them as they make future decisions for our community, our city, and our state. Love is stronger than all. We are one nation under God, and in your name we praise and we thank you. Amen. I thank God for my wonderful ocean. I saw the whales all week long. We should maybe be called Gurra Beach, the home of the whales. Think about it. I'd like us all to please commit to telling the truth. The litigation that we've heard about, it would be nice if on the website or somewhere that people that are watching the litigation, following it, all of the litigation, if we could have some kind of record of what is being spent on the attorney fees, so that just for transparency, whatever the case might be. I was given one of these. I understand a neighbor in South Gurra Beach that you probably haven't heard much of has made some signs, and she's asked that we please address. It says no Pismo Beach, no Pismo Beach wastewater project in Gurra Beach. This is a really important topic to many people, especially the people in South Gurra. I've been watching the buildings, and it'd be nice if we could get a little calculation of how many people that own the new project actually are Gurra Beach residents. Are they voters? Are they here full time? It's real easy to get. I know the tax records are easy to obtain. A little bit easier for you to get those voter records. Being the city, but I think it would be something for us to look at to see if what we're doing to our city is really bringing in more people. really bringing in more voices, or is it just vacation homes? I'd really like to see that information. I appreciate it if we could do that.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Auer.
Thank you.
Stephen, followed by Kelvin Kovduck.
Good evening, Mayor D and council members. My name is Stephen Hanamaikai. I'm a transportation planner here on behalf of the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. SLOCOG will be hosting 6 community workshops this September and October to engage with residents about the Local Roads First Initiative, a potential countywide transportation measure that may appear on the November 2026 ballot. These workshops are designed to give residents a chance to meet directly with SLOCOG staff, learn more about the county's transportation funding challenges, and share their own priorities for local road, major infrastructure, and safety projects. 5 sessions will be held in person across the county, and 1 will be held online to make it a little bit easier for everyone to participate. We know that road maintenance, safety, and long-term transportation planning concerns are concerns that affect every community in our county. Local Roads First is about exploring how we can invest in these needs together with dedicated local funding that stays here in San Luis Obispo County. We encourage community members to attend a workshop in their area or the online session and share their perspectives. Input from residents is critical to ensuring that the initiative reflects the real needs of our local communities. There will be 1 workshop held in South County on Wednesday, October 8th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Judkins Middle School, located at 680 Wadsworth Street in Pismo Beach. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to hearing from the residents about these upcoming workshops. For more information, please visit localroadsfirst.com. Again, that's localroadsfirst.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Kelvin Kovduck, followed by Lauren Westfall.
Good evening. Good evening. And I'm slowly getting to meet everybody individually, being it at the beach or just at coffee shops or 5K runs. But I live on Beckett Street, and it's right off of Front Street. And I'm watching Trinity being built. And, you know, I've lived there for a couple months, so I'm seeing it from go up from the ground up. But I talked to the project manager last week, and he was telling me that they don't own the property right next to it. I assumed they did. And so that was information to me that I didn't know. They're parking their vehicles there, their tractors, and they're pouring their dirt there. And so I guess they have a gentleman's agreement to do that. But the land hasn't been sold yet, which is nice to know, because he also told me that they're going to be potentially building 36 more units with a 40-foot limit, 4 stories. That means that the people that live in the coastal zone in that neighborhood are going to lose the horizon, not just the palm trees in the ocean. But I guess that's the chance you take when you move to Crawford Beach. But it's the public streets, too, where people who drive down Brighton or Ramona, 2nd Street, they're going to lose the horizon because these buildings are tall. And I talked to one of the residents of live in these little cottages right next to it. And they said, well, they rent and they pay a little over $1,000 a month, which is great for Grover Beach. But Central Coast Builders tried to buy that property. And most of those people that live in those cottages are retired, living on Social Security. So where do they go? Because right now online, there is a unit at Palladium, a 1-bedroom, 500 square foot, for rent for $2,300 a month. So that's more than double the rent that these people are paying. Fortunately, the landlord decided not to sell. But what if they did? Where would they go? It's that these condos and townhomes, they're currently listed, some of them, for $1.3 million. Others are just a little over $1 million. So it's not affordable housing. So what's done is done. Trinity's being built. But I would want the city council to really consider something about those 36 units at four stories high going down Front Street. I don't think it's a good idea. It's not grand. It's not Grand Avenue. It's to have what's on Grand Avenue on Front Street, I think, is not a good idea. And ironically, if they ever build the conference center across the street, they'll lose their views. And so, you know, I think in this particular project, I think it should really be considered a no, or a compromise, and maybe go two stories with businesses on the first level. At one time, there was an Embarcadero proposed there back in the 90s. So it's early. Nothing's gone to the Planning Commission, but I just want to put it on the radar.
Thank you for your comments. Lauren Westfall, followed by Michael Teeling.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council members. Back in August, the Chicago Mayor Johnson...
Sorry, Ms. Westfall, can you move the mic to you? Thank you so much.
Back in August, Mayor Johnson told his residents, elevate your voices to be able to protest in a peaceful way. Our previous council forced us to elevate our voices, forced us to follow through with the recall process of Council Member Rushing, as the other two cowered down and announced that they would not rerun a second term. Since this council has been seated, I believe the tension has decreased, not only amongst the dais, but also amongst us. You have allowed and encouraged people to reach out to you. You implemented the open door policy. We personally agree to disagree on some issues. I know we will continue to do this in the future. I will continue to challenge you for more transparency, less double talk, community input, and outreach. In the last 9 months, this council and staff have taken actions, addressed issues, corrected issues, and implemented changes, again, more than what we would ever have seen with the prior council. With that, council's responsibility is in the best interest of their community members and looking out for them. The city needs to step up, take action, and inform people of CCB that's moving forward. Provide the people with contact information for PISMO, when their meetings are held. Put it on your webpage. By ignoring and refusing, keeping your community abreast of PISMO's project is a lack of leadership and responsibility. The city took on all the costs and advertisement for a nonprofit Grover Beach Community Foundation. Another city plans on constructing the project. So what's the difference between PISMO project and the nonprofit, if both of them are coming into Grover? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Westfall. I have Michael Teeling, and then I do not have any other speaker slips.
Good evening. This evening, I wish to address all of the citizens of Grover Beach. I rise today to speak about all the buildings being developed to create the new west end of Grand Avenue. I rise to speak for the hundreds, if not thousands, of us residents of this great city that don't bother to speak up because they're either too timid or too busy or too bored by the politics and what happens in this room. Only recently did my wife and I move to Grover Beach as two of your newest neighbors. In the past 6 months, we've had the pleasure of meeting some of the most nicest and most accepting folks we could have ever asked for. We love it here. The Grover Beach that we see emerging is exciting, vibrant, and forward-looking. The new West End and the residents it welcomes will build a lively, walkable neighborhood filled with new restaurants, new bars, and new shops. Like Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande before us, those street-level businesses will provide Grover Beach with valuable sales and business tax revenues. Listen, I moved here from the city of Oakland, a place that managed to lose all three of its sports teams. A city that only supported its small businesses in fits and starts. A city that ultimately put too much of its revenue burden on property owners like us. Now, Some of our fellow neighbors are loudly opposed to either the appearance or the height of these new developments. Some people will indeed lose their ocean views. We understand their concerns. Amy and I live on Saratoga Avenue. The neighbor who sits between us and the ocean will soon put his home up for sale. The new owner may demolish the one-story home that sits there and build a two-story home, as will be their right to do. It's a risk that Amy and I had to accept before we chose to move into our wonderful new house. If that happens, we'll be disappointed. But we'll still be able to walk to the beach, to bike to the beach, and to drive on our beautiful beach. We'll still see all of those gorgeous sunsets. And we'll be able to enjoy the new West End. Shortly after our arrival, Amy and I had the pleasure of meeting the mayor. We've then since met many of the other civil servants sitting here in front of us. We believe them to be honest, earnest, and hardworking. Please, let's trust them to figure out Grover's future parking needs. Finally, I appeal to all of my fellow Grover Beach residents and citizens to get on the right side of history. Now, I never knew the Grover Beach of the past, but I know the one that I moved to, and it's the one that's growing smartly. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Teeley. I do not have any other speaker slips. Does anybody wish to come up and speak?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Thank you for your time. I first of all want to say thank you to Clint for attempting to bring up a discussion of the consolidated permit. You did, that was brave of you, and everybody else just didn't do anything. Your community is asking for communication. 6 months ago, there were people who went to a CCB meeting to ask for this upfront communication, Central Coast Blue, and asked for them to start communicating in advance with the people of District 4 and District 1, where we believe these things will still take place. We understand there's a amended EIR. We've been told it's on the website. It's not. We understand that there's a scaled back plan. Nothing's been said. Pismo's silent. They're talking to you. You guys are talking to them, but you're not talking to your people. So I'd like to ask Mr. Lamelli a question. Is there any law, policy, ordinance, procedure that allows these district council members or disallows them to meet with their community in their districts, to speak on topics, development or other, that may change their lives and directly impact the quality? Can you answer that for me at the end of the meeting? Cassie, you mentioned something in the last meeting that said it's a moot point. At the end of the meeting, would you answer what you meant by the consolidated permit or meeting and engaging with the people being a moot point? That would be really great. So I'm just asking all of you, your districts, you have the ability to know what happens within those districts and talk to the people. You don't have to maybe give all the details. But what can you give them? How can you engage them? How can you make them feel as if you know what's happening in their neighborhood and you're protecting them? I think you're missing the issue of trust and engagement and real true public discourse and debate so they can feel heard. And maybe they'll tell you something that you don't know. You've got smart people out there that might have a design element, a new idea. And if you let them know up front, is there a way maybe to start engagement at the beginning of a project instead of at the end when someone only has 10 days? I just ask you to really consider it. We've been asking for it, and I'd really appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to come up and speak? No? Okay. Is there anybody on the line?
Yes, we have Debbie Falcon.
Hi. Hi, this is Debbie Falcon from Atlantic City.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello. Okay. Good evening, council members. My name is Debbie Falcon, and I'm calling to raise serious concerns about the $5 million wastewater bond issuance. The debt service coverage table tied to that bond contains troubling inaccuracies. It claims zero development impact fees, impact fee revenue for the years 24-25, and only $19,849 for the years 25-26. Yet the city's own website shows over $74,000 and $54,000, respectively. Even more concerning, the table projects zero revenue from the years 2027 to 2031, despite active developments currently under construction or review. None. We're not going to get any money from these developments. This misrepresents the city's financial position and could affect bond terms, ratepayer obligations, and public trust. I'm also disappointed that these documents that were submitted without proper review. Given the scale of this financial commitment, that oversight should have been non-negotiable. And the council's approval of these unchecked documents raises serious questions about accountability. I'm asking this council to take responsibility, revise the debt service coverage table, correct the repayment figures, and publicly explain how these errors occurred. Ratepayers deserve answers, not assumptions. And it's time for this city to lead with integrity. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. John Weissong.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Weissong.
Yes. Yes, hi. I'm here.
Okay. Can you put the phone closer to your mouth?
Pardon?
Go ahead. You can speak now. Mr. Weissong?
Yes. Hello?
Go ahead. You can speak.
Are you ready for me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Johnny Weissong. I'm a 92-year-old Korean vet, and I have lived here almost 70 years. So for the man, Mr. King, or whatever his name was, I have talked to this town every meeting I came to for 30 years. You can ask people. But then 5 years ago, your manager confronted me in the audience and said, we didn't have water tonight because it'll be next week. And all they had was the elections. So the problem is here, we should be like Oceana, because when I came here, we were all the same. And look at Oceana, and look at us. Then you know why. But my neighbor, Mr. Miner, the Miner's Hardware, a house burned, and it didn't have any water, and we had to get it from our right granny, and it cost $900 in 1979. Well, you know, that's tough. But tonight, I want the chief of police, the mayor, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's in charge. I want a gate at 16th and a gate at Oak Park and Brighton Avenue. I am tired of this speeding, trucks, delivery, you know, it's like I told you, Mayor, remember on your bicycle? There's three streets here, 16th, 14th, and 13th. And they can come up and down each one of those streets. And they can deliver. And they don't have to go by me. Now, I'll tell you something. If you put those gates up there, and when I'm deceased, you can take them down. I don't care. I won't be here.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Weissong. Thank you.
I don't come very often. I don't drive. I've been here.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Weisong. Good? Okay. Is he done? Okay. All right. Okay. Is there anybody else on the line? Okay. I will now close our public, general public communications, and we will now move on to the consent agenda. So the following routine items listed, which are the treasurer's report for the period of August 1st through August 31st, 2025, treasurer's reports for the 2022 streets bond account, the minutes of the city council meeting on Monday, September 8th, 2025, the award of construction contract for CIP Project 5002 Sewer Systems Upgrade Project, and the approval of AB 650 support position letter. I will now open up public comments on the consent agenda, and I have two speaker slips, Brenda Auer, followed by Lauren Westfall.
Brenda Auer again. I've been researching AB 650, and I would ask the council, the management, as I asked last election time, when there is something the city report is going to support on my behalf, please provide us with information, either in advance, in the packet, on the website, as to the pros and the cons. From what I can tell, AB 650 might help us with some of our builder's remedy issues. I know there's some other things in there that are stuck in there, but it'd be really nice to have just a, what do you call it, Cassie, a cliff note of what it's about. I want to be able to make a full decision. Last time we did this, you suggested people vote a certain way, and I disagreed. So pros and cons, okay? That's only fair. I'd like to know about the bricks. I don't see it in the financial report. I'd like a report on how many bricks have been sold. When I go on the website to buy a brick, I get lost in some kind of strawberry event. Take a look. Something's wrong with this website. Is that community foundation taking money that should go for the bricks? Did it go to the strawberry event? Something's kind of not right there, folks. Take a look. I think that we need to untangle that. Also, the county just cut back on $38 million in cuts, fired some people, cut back some salaries, moved people around to do other jobs. I don't see that in the financial reports here in Grover Beach. I don't see us doing any cutbacks. Instead, we're finding ways to spend more money. Let me repeat that. The county just cut back $38 million. Why aren't we following suit? Why are we taking a look at where we can cut back, where we can spend our money smarter? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Westfall.
Good evening again, Madam Mayor. First, I want to address the treasury reports. I would like to know if you guys all really looked at the treasury reports. And if you guys noticed the first error I saw, check number 7131 for $350 dated on 7/24/2025. It's a typo. It's actually on this treasury report for Grover Beach Water Department. The second check for $2,207 was on the last Treasury report to Eliz Hernandez. According to the Treasury report, she was refunded the money due to a family illness. However, you guys voided the check. First typo, I would like to know about that. I'm still waiting to find out about the $24,000 that we spend yearly on poop bags. If you remember, I asked when I saw it being deducted out of the budget sheet, out of the water fund. 45 Newport, the rent was $9,286.85 per month. That's $111,000.4 a year. That money somehow, some way can be going towards new infrastructure. I would like to know what percentage is determined from the sales tax that goes to the police and fire infrastructure. I'm not asking for the percentage towards salaries, work comp, insurance, union fees. I'm asking for actual infrastructure. It says on the ballots of the X06 and especially on the F20 tax that it is to go to emergency services. And I understand it goes for employees, but I also want to know how much will be going towards the infrastructure, as that is what we need. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to speak on the consent agenda? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? All right, I will close public comment for the consent agenda. Okay, do any council members want to pull any items or have any questions? No? Since there's no questions, anybody want to discuss or just make a motion to adopt the consent agenda as presented?
I'll move to adopt the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Wyrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Councilmember McCrory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor D?
Yes. Thank you so much. Now we will move on to our public hearing. We're going to start with item 7, the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to approve the reorganization, compilation, renumbering, amendment, repeal, restatement, and codification of existing ordinances and adopting a new municipal code. And I will call on City Attorney Lamelli. I did that pretty well, right?
I was going to say, I'd like to hear you say that twice in a row.
I do like to read.
That's true. So thank you, Council. Mayor and Council, this is a quick presentation regarding the municipal code update. It's fairly straightforward, as was mentioned during the last meeting. This is essentially being done in order to accomplish an update to the code, which has not been updated since 1988. There were numerous ordinances that were adopted or amended since then. However, the actual municipal code has not undergone an extensive review to ensure updated information, statutes, and consistency. And so part of this is also in line with the city's efforts to also make the municipal code available electronically online and to also allow you the ability to be able to search it, so that you didn't have to go through the PDFs, which quite honestly, even I found a little bit difficult to find some of these updates. And so along with that, quick overview of the proposed update, and I put an important note that we'll start off with is all substantive provisions remain unchanged. This update was purely administrative to improve usability and accuracy. Any substantive changes to any of the ordinances will need to come back to the body for approval through the normal amendment process. But what this will allow us to do now is to make those types of amendments and changes and to streamline that process so that they will be updated online as well, so that we don't have to continue to have like a new legislation section that is apart and separate from the inline municipal code that was in existence. So what this is a renumbering for improved organization, a transition to searchable electronic format, correction of topographical errors, and an update of statutory references. As you can imagine, since it wasn't updated since 1988, there were quite a few statutory references that no longer existed. And so we had to go through, find where they had been moved within the new current statutory provisions and code sections so that we could fix those references to the current statutes and provisions. There were also some internal harmonization that needed to happen in terms of referencing certain other sections within the municipal code itself that hadn't been updated. They were from a couple of versions prior to that. So really just trying to improve the readability and understandability of the municipal code for everyone to be able to utilize. What this is not is there are no policy changes, there are no new regulations or requirements, no changes to enforcement, and no impact on existing rights or obligations. Again, a highlight of the current challenges is that it was difficult to navigate, contained outdated statute references, and there were topographical errors and limited accessibility. The solutions that were provided is there was an increased logical and sequential numbering and updated electronic search capability, updated statutory citations to ensure consistency with state laws, standardized formatting for consistency, corrected internal cross-referencing, and reorganized sections for logical flow and easier reference. And staff's recommendation is to conduct a public hearing for the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to approve reorganization, compilation, renumbering, amendment, repeal, restatement, and codification of existing ordinances and adopting a new municipal code. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you for the presentation, of course. All right, do we have any questions from council members? You want to go ahead?
How many hours had to go in? I can't even edit. Like, my thesis took me forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine.
I can say it took, I think, over a year in order to do it. Yeah.
Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
So is this going to be on a different platform than American Legal Publishing on their code library, or is this going to be on that part?
This is the American Legal
publishing. The one that's online right now?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So it's not changing platforms, it's just reorganizing it more as a cleanup.
Right. So essentially the platform that was online was going through a testing phase to ensure that it was working, and so now that all the bugs and all the updates have been accurately compiled, now we're adopting it so that we can start using the new system.
Gotcha. And yeah, this basically is just a cleanup. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And I appreciate the adding current references to statutory changes, since working off old law that doesn't exist doesn't help us out. So thank you.
Any other questions? No? No? Okay, so I will now open the public hearing. I do not have any speaker slips. Does anybody wish to come up and speak on this item? Go ahead.
Again, thank you. Lauren Westfall, I have a question on this. Is this reversing what Attorney Hale, the resolution that Attorney Hale presented to council, changing the transparency, eliminating where the ordinances, once they're approved and resolutions, would be published at? Because when he did that ordinance, he said once you guys approved a resolution or an ordinance, it would only be noted in the newspaper 15 days. So I want to know, is this going to reverse what he implemented? And also, I would like you guys to consider the 1970 water trash ordinance or municipal code, where you can't cancel water unless you cancel trash. As many people have, well, two people have talked to me about it, that has their house on the market. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to speak on this item? Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Just got back from vacation. You guys really need to pay attention to what he was reading up here and study what he was doing. This is to protect the mistakes they've been making. You need to pay attention to all this. Doesn't matter if it took a year or 2 years. This is a huge deal right here, and you need to study it. You're the only thing people we have watching out for us. I mean, it's just baloney covering their mistakes that they made, and they have to do something because all the people have been showing up. Please pay attention to even the slide before he had up there and read it yourselves. If you don't comprehend it, get a dictionary or something. But they're covering themselves right now. They made a lot of mistakes. And the building code, there's been building violations on that 4th Street across from 7-Eleven, at least 12 of them. I found out you guys hire an outside inspector to do this. You don't have an inside. When I was building houses,
I'm going to have to redirect you on to, this is about the code specifically.
Oh, okay.
Not items in the code, but renumbering of the code.
You're looking good, Cassie.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much. Anybody else wish to come up and speak on this item? No, I see nobody come forward. He cracks me up. Is there anybody on the line? Okay, I will now close the public hearing. I'd like to answer this, or have Mr. Lomeli answer this question. Is this reversing anything that previous Attorney Hale, and is it eliminating any ordinances?
No, there's not an elimination of any ordinances. What it's doing is taking what was there, recodifying it, renumbering it, and any changes that happen. There are still changes that need to be done, similar to what was commented to. There may be ordinances that council should choose choose to change or amend, we would still go through the normal process of changing and amending that. However, now those changes and amendments would not only be noted online within a section indicating that there's been changes or amendments, but they would also be streamlined into that so that you wouldn't update an ordinance and then have to wait years for it to get republished at some point in order to be able to see the actual language that applied. So it wouldn't be taking the new ordinances and placing them somewhere else, which is currently the place. It's just going to integrate them together. So when there's an update, it'll be updated online.
So it's like it's a living document.
Correct.
So for example, we're about to do our second reading for the vacancies. In this, if I click on this item, you'll see what it is now, what it was before, and so on and so forth.
So what'll end up happening is, it, like for the next item, that'll get sent over to American Legal Publishing so that they can add the ordinance into the online format, is how that'll work. So okay. Once you approve it, then we send it to them, and then they update it on their end so that you can see it online. Okay. But any changes or anything still have to come to council. So that, and also the development code has also not been incorporated into the online version, so that will come back to council at a future date for incorporation into the online formatting.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from council? Go ahead.
Yeah, and I guess just for clarity for me, so basically the current stuff would be on this, but then as far as if someone wanted to kind of do the historical research and stuff as far as the track changes, that's located on a different part because this that's one, or does it show, or could you find the track changes through this one?
So the online format will actually have, typically they'll have in parentheses, it'll show you all the different versions of what it was prior to the current numbering. Mm-hmm. So it'll have the article number or the section number that applied to it now. It'll have that reference in the new updated, but it'll be in a new section.
And just for practicalities, how far back does that go? As far as the changes, and I don't expect it to go all the way back to the beginning of the city's history at this point, but just for context.
It goes back to what we could actually provide them in terms of being able to put it in there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Any discussion or comments?
I just appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's
good,
efficient business, cleaning things up. So thanks for the effort.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what I was going to say, too, is thank you for putting that much time into making it a little bit more consumer-friendly. And yeah, so any other discussion? No? Okay, well then, can I have a motion to accept the... Oh, can we have it back on the screen, please? It would just help us out. Thank you. All right, would anybody like to make a motion on this? Go ahead.
Sure. I'll move for the adoption of an ordinance to approve reorganization, compilation, renumbering, amendment, repeal, and restatement and codification of existing ordinances and adopting any municipal code.
Can I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Councilmember McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor D?
Yes. All right. Thank you again for that work and putting that together. We'll now move on to item 8, which is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to amend sections 31.08 and 31.23 of Chapter 31, Organizations of Title III, Administration of the Gover Beach Municipal Code, pertaining to appointments and vacancies for the Planning Commission and Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. I might say, I'm on fire tonight. Thank you. I will call on Assistant City Manager Erickson, please.
Well done, and we'll keep the titles shorter from now on, I promise.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mayor.
If you
want any feedback, that's it.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Just by way of background, our advisory bodies are part of the input that your council considers in making its determinations, including community input and staff information presented to your council. And these are the things that form your policy decisions. We do have 4 advisory bodies, and this is true after the last meeting when your council adopted a resolution to change our oversight committee makeup. So we have a Planning Commission, a Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, and we now have two separate oversight committees. One is the Citizens Oversight Committee for Measure K-14, and the other is the Oversight Committee for Sales Tax Revenue Measures. When there is a vacancy, current practice for the city is that the mayor selects a member of the public to be on the advisory body, and then the council approves that selection after an interview process with the mayor. This is what we're proposing to change pursuant to your council's direction. On March 10th, you did direct our staff to come back with this ordinance to provide public interviews of all applicants in front of the council at a council meeting with selection by the council majority at that same meeting. And then on September 8, as I said, you adopted the resolution to split the oversight committee into two separate committees. And this will be the first, and we also conducted the first reading of this ordinance to make these changes. Staff has said we will apply the selection process adopted tonight to the oversight committees, although the ballot language does not specify a selection process for those committees. But that will keep it consistent. And so our recommendation is that you do adopt this ordinance to change the selection process for your advisory bodies. And I am available for any questions.
Thank you so much. I'll start to my left with questions.
Thank you. I have just one, and I think you've already stated this, but this will make all of four of them the same.
The selection process is, this ordinance governs the PRBC and the Planning Commission. However, staff will apply the same process to the committees
oversight
for
committees.
Oversight.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
No questions? To my right. For these committees, are they all, are seats open at the same time? I believe it for Parks and Rec, Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, it was May were the terms. Is that the same for the other committees as well?
No, they vary. And each year, pursuant to the MATI Act, the clerk does publish the term dates and endings. And we publish whenever there is a vacancy for other reasons as well.
Okay. So it's kind of, we'll have it sporadically through the year once
correct.
Terms expire.
And hopefully we can try to consolidate as best we can as we move through the year.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other questions? No? Okay. So I will now open the public hearing. I do not have any speaker slips. Go ahead.
Pamela Storton, Grover Beach. Thanks again, everyone. And you guys all look good. So.
Oh, thank you.
if Ms. Erickson could just repeat at the end that act you mentioned that we had to do for this hearing. I didn't hear the word. So a couple of things, and I think I mentioned this, and I think I'm a broken record. But going back to previous comments, and there are the four bodies. What, and I did mention this early on, why don't we appoint from districts? And all of you bring something forward from your district. Because I remember Cassie mentioning early on that she lived in North Grover and grew up there, but didn't even know some of the neighborhoods in South Grover. Their diversity, and one of your other speakers mentioned, you know, it's okay with them to have the high rises. There might be people in South Grover that would rather have the high rises than the pot places and the, you know, they, so you don't know unless you get that representation. In Kathy's district, you're going to have a whole host of affordable housing people. And if they get left out, we have now missed out on the opportunity for this diversity and inclusion of all the people in Grover. So maybe we could look at all of you for appointing, and then Cassie has the last one, and make them all five, except the one that can't be. But maybe you say we're going to spread it out among districts every, you know, when the new term comes up. This is in the spirit of the 2001 Voting Rights Act. You know, it's when we did switch from at-large elections to the districts. So I really think that you'll understand the quality of life for those people in those districts if you make sure that we continually include them, and you have, and we may get a diversity of ages and ideas and backgrounds. And I really do think with when we have this affordable housing coming on, you'll have a lot of working people, and you just may get the opportunity to feel it and see them and make this a better, more inclusive community if we work at it now and try to make everything 5-person if possible, unless the law doesn't allow, and then maybe do some switcheroos. So I just appreciate you. Thank you. And Mr. Lamelli, thanks for that work on the last thing, because that's great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to come up and speak?
Might as well put me down for every item. Thank you again. One question, well, actually several questions. On 3105 under the organization, section B, it says the Planning Commission shall hold at least one regular meeting each month. It shall adopt rules for transactions of businesses and shall keep records of the resolution, transactions, findings, and determination, which records shall be public record. I would like to know what that means by it shall adopt rules and transactions, because the way I interpreted it was no matter what is being presented to them as far as building plans, that they had no choice. They have to approve it. I like Ms. Storton's suggestion of having it diverse with between the five districts or four districts. Also, I did not see, can a person sit on all the committees, or are they only allowed to sit on one committee? And that, especially for the K-14 and the tax measure. And then I would also like to know how many terms that they can fill the seat. So there's a lot of questions. I like that you guys are addressing them. And if you can't find somebody in a district that it gets brought forward and discussed on options, and if you also need back on Mr. Lamelli, I really appreciate that, what you are doing. And if you need any help on the resolutions and finding the past resolutions, I'll be glad to help. I got it down to 2010 so far.
Thank you, Ms. Westfall. Anybody else wish to speak on this item? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? No? Okay, I will now close the public hearing for this item. I would like to address some of these comments and questions. Ms. Erickson, can you repeat the MATI Act and maybe clarify a little bit more?
Yeah, so that is a law that requires specified noticing of vacancies on advisory bodies, including annually. We do post that on our website of known vacancies that will be coming up throughout the year.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go back to your other comment, Ms. Storton. I want to finish with that because a couple of you mentioned it. As far as Ms. Westfall's comment with 31.05, it shall adopt rules and transactions. Can you just expand on that a little bit for me?
Sure. So if you actually look at the online version of the ordinance, you'll see that this is passed in 1960. And has remained unchanged. This is an example of what we were talking about earlier. So we're still going to have to update some of these items, but typically, because there's now the Brown Act that applies to these types of meetings, there's no need for them to go through the Planning Commission to come up with its own rules, regulations. Mm-hmm. It's required under the Brown Act to hold on to the resolutions, transactions, findings, determinations, all of that's required now under law to be maintained. And so this is just one of those instances where that language was from 1960 and just hasn't been updated yet.
Okay, thank you. The next question, can a person sit on all of the committees? Like if they want to do parks, planning, tax measure, but specifically I think this question was addressed towards the K-14, the tax measure, the oversight committees. Could they sit on all three of them?
Generally, that is not the practice, is to have multiple people serving on multiple advisory bodies, no.
Okay.
But they could theoretically if your council wanted that.
I feel like you'd get more voices if you had multiple people.
Sure. I would just say the one thing that we would have to look at in terms of appointment to multiple bodies is just to ensure that we avoided any conflicts of interest.
Okay. And then I don't believe that we have term limits on any of our, and I didn't see it in there
as
well.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you for addressing that. As far as appointing from the districts, that was, I think, a discussion that we had early on this year. And I believe there were some other cities that do it as well. I think for at least this is my understanding, and I would like to get concurrence from the council, is that if there's a vacancy, that the idea is to have representative for all of us go and look for a for interest to see if there's anybody who would like to apply for the seat, and maybe there would be a preference for that district if we have somebody in each district. I just know that it is hard to get people involved sometimes, but I figured that the idea was that we would be going out when there was a space open and having all of us bring somebody up and then have them apply, and we base our selection off of that, and then maybe within our scoring sheet we can have a preference if there's somebody in that district that's open per se. Is that kind of my understanding of that? I know that we didn't really discuss that beforehand. Our discussion was more about having the interviews come up, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I appreciate the spirit of the pulling from each district, although I don't think codifying it gets the best results.
Right.
Using it as part of the criteria is something that I would always do to balance mm-hmm. it. But I also wouldn't want to be restricted if there was an opening and there was somebody who had a unique skill set, past experience that they brought that could really support what that committee was doing at that time. And I also wouldn't want to be trying to encourage people to do this that aren't interested.
Right.
So that's a recipe for disaster. But being very proactive and taking district and demographics and representation into the conversation and the rating system, yes. Do we need to codify that evaluation process? I think that happens below the level of this conversation, but if it doesn't, then yes, I'd be interested in that conversation.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the tricky parts about that was just for the three-person oversight committee for Measure K-14. I mean, that was one of the dynamics involved, too. And it's not a bad thing for us to, because the application that we currently have on the city website, I don't think that does have districts on there, too, as far as these advisory bodies. So that's something that could be added to just to see it. Because I do look at it when everyone's on the different commissions and committees to see kind of where they're all at, too, for that perspective. I mean, I remember, the whole District 4 one. I noticed when one didn't, it was one of those situations. And I do think when you live in different parts of town, you do experience different things. But if we do get stuck in the situation where, for some reason, people don't want to serve at that moment, and then we don't have quorum, I think there's just some practical catches, but yes, if we're able to broaden the perspectives, we should be doing that. And I think the one part that we probably will see through this process is ultimately how people who have these opportunities now, if they do want to step up. I mean, I think that's been one problem in the past is people's interest. I think in more recent years, people have been just interested in general. So we could always change this, though. I mean, it's right now just to get something going, because I do appreciate how basically this puts – all these ordinances and everything else in place too, and people who know me know that I like to see where it's like, where's this all come from? So at least the blueprint as a whole is good. But I think one of the dynamics that previous ordinance that as far as the mayor making the pick was trying to where we're getting away from just that and having more people's input and actually having people come up here to do their interviews. So those are still good. But yeah, let's keep track of. So everyone's not just coming from the same neighborhood on the same block, which is what everyone's always wants to avoid that situation. So.
Right. Okay. So I think that I'm hearing that we're still very much in favor of the just the open interviews and then having us choose instead of specifically district specific people. However, encouraging folks to come out and apply for it, and then maybe possibly on the application putting down what district they're in, just so that we have that knowledge. Is there any other discussion? No? Okay. I just want to say thank you to the council for this change, because I just think that it's going to better represent our community. I don't mind doing the interviews. That was totally fine, but I just think that people will get to see the people who are applying, and there'll be more excitement for it. So can I have a motion to approve this, to adopt it? Excuse me. Thank you, Jules.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the ordinance to amend the sections 31.08 and 31.09. 5.23 of the Chapter 31 Organization of Title III Administration of the Grover Beach Municipal Code pertaining to appointments and vacancies for the Planning Commission and Park Recreations and Beautifications Commissions.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Councilmember McCrory Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Mayor D.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for putting that all together. Shall we take a break before we move on to our regular business item? Yes, please. Let's take a 7-minute break. Item 9 is the draft City Council handbook, and I will pass it over to Assistant City Manager Erickson for the PowerPoint.
It's me again.
Hello.
So just as way background for this handbook, and this is just our first draft of the handbook, but in March of this year, your council did adopt some city council norms along with your goal setting process and workshop. And then on March 10th, when you formally adopted those goals, you did provide staff direction to develop the handbook that is in draft form before you today. Today, what we would like is for your council to consider what we've put together in the draft and then provide direction on any changes or additional things you'd like to see in any final version that comes back to your council at a future
meeting.
Excuse
me, sorry. Can we have silence in our audience? Excuse me. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. And so our intent here is to provide clarity and transparency for your procedures and operations as a council and to help direct future councils. In looking at the contents, generally the handbook discusses our city organization as well as your council's duties in your districts and as a citywide governing body, your swearing-in processes and the duties of the mayor pro tem and the mayor, as well as the appointment process for the mayor pro tem and council member duties in general. It also addresses administration items, including council compensation and benefits, the role of the city manager in relationship with the council, training and Brown Act requirements for the council, as well as meeting protocols, including the timing and sequence, the requirement of a quorum, civility in our discourse, and then agenda ordering and broadcasting rules. And so our recommendation today is that you consider the draft before you as a starting point to kick off a conversation about what you would like to see coming back as your final handbook at a future meeting. And I'm available for any questions.
Thank you so much for the presentation. All right, I will start with questions to my right. Councilmember Tuggle, yeah.
Two questions. Once this gets accepted, adopted, does it have the same weight as other codes and policies? So, like, if a future council wanted to deviate from these norms in any way, would they have to actually change the handbook?
So it would not have the same weight as our municipal code or other statutes and regulations. However, the idea is that, yes, it would be something that the council agrees to. Future councils, of course, could adopt different norms or make any changes that they wanted to, just as you can with our code.
Would it force the conversation, though? Like,
it would.
It wouldn't
yes.
be able to just change without the conversation.
Correct.
Yes. Okay,
yes.
Love that. And then, is the day of our meeting included in that?
It is not included in that, but it could be a discussion. I mean, we currently have the first and third Mondays, but we could change that date if the council were to choose.
Does the date need to be in this handbook, or is that a separate?
It would. It's also in the code, so it would require a code change. So it would be more than just a discussion in the handbook.
Yeah, the handbook documents the current meeting schedule, but if the council wished to make a change there, then that would require an ordinance to actually change the code with that.
Got it. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
No questions.
No questions?
Comments.
Okay, we'll get to comments. Questions on my left. Go ahead.
So is it going to also include things like references to, for instance, the ordinance we just approved tonight about reorganizing and how we can go about educating ourselves and finding information like that?
It does not include references to our code outside of just what's covered by the handbook itself. So it would not walk you through the municipal code,
okay.
No.
Would it walk us through any staff and what they do?
It does have, and that is a part of the city organization. It does not get into the details of what each department does, although that certainly could be something that we added.
Okay. That might be nice to have. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up on a piggyback off of that? But it does, for example, have, like, I think in the section where it talks about compensation, it does refer to how that was decided, the ordinance that was decided.
Correct. So, like I said, there will be code references to the things specifically addressed by the handbook, but it's not, generally, it's not going to give a tutorial on the code overall or changes that were made in any given year.
Okay. Was any thought given to this? And I know we talked about it, so this is kind of hindsight, that this piece might be used for people that are in the future thinking of running for city council? Could it be an educational tool for them?
I would say it would be a great educational tool, yes. And also we would hope to adapt this for our advisory bodies as well to give them guidance.
Okay. And one last question. And along that line, would it be available for anybody to view it online, to find it and view it?
Upon Excellent. Adoption, yes.
Thank you. That's
right. It. Councilmember Weirich?
Up to comments later, but a few questions. So to the note kind of that Councilmember Tuggle brought up is as far as the nature of adopting this does establish policy, and some of it, like for instance, the broadcasting of these meetings too. So since that has a fiscal implication, for instance, basically this does establish policy that does affect different parts of how we do things that staff would integrate if we adopt it. So basically anything that gets in this too that's not preempted or prohibited would go into operations too, as far as how we do things like that point, right?
Yes, that's correct. It would be a policy document.
Okay. And also, this is just one of those parts to, because it gets confusing for many people, as you all know, but and it seems strange for me to bring it up too, but it's to make a point, is on the 1.2, as far as the org chart, it shows the city council and it shows mayor pro tem, council members. Since we're a general law city, is that actually a real hierarchy and stuff? And if it's a hierarchy that people follow, is that how staff follows it? Or are we actually all basically one row just connected to each other?
Yes, I think for aesthetic reasons, spatial relationship reasons of the org chart, it's not listed horizontally. But as you know, all council members are one vote and one vote each. There are separated duties for the mayor and mayor pro tem that are discussed within the handbook, and that is why they're called out by titles differently, but you are correct. It's really a horizontal line.
And when it comes to a lot of the parts that aren't referenced off, because the previous item, like I said, I like how it has all the different statutory and ordinance parts noted, but all the parts that don't have that reference, or like the citywide governance resolution, things like that. Mm-hmm. So are these all unwritten practices basically that have been put in here too that have been happening in the past?
Yes, a lot of this is prior practice based. It's also kind of just best practices, and staff did look at other cities and municipalities and their practices as well to make sure that we were in line with general practice.
Okay. But ultimately we could, since a lot of things and stuff are in reference in the respect that they're in law or ordinances, that there's a lot of this that we can change to kind of drive forward where the council might be going in the future, not just retrospective in the past.
Yeah. Yes, you could make those changes.
Okay. I'll get to more of that later, but that's my questions. Go
ahead. You remind me of another question. So you touched on looking at other cities. Is this similar to what Arroyo Grande uses?
Yes, I would say that ours is a streamlined version of their handbook, okay, which is voluminous. But it does cover basically the same ground, yes.
Okay. And anyone else in our region doing similar?
Yes, there are several cities with similar handbooks for their councils.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Well, then I will open up for public comment on this item. I do not have any speaker slips. Does anybody wish to come up and speak?
Living better now. It was only 8 hours on the ocean. The meeting that was presented where all the drawings came from and all the different ideas, I was really concerned because no one could figure out what the norm was. You heard me pray. Love is stronger than all. I kind of know what the norm is. in my opinion, it's do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Our moral and civil code all came from the Ten Commandments. There was no mention of anything like that. Be kind to your neighbors, be honest. Nobody could figure out what the norm was. Excuse me. It actually took them all day long to come up with maybe what the norm was. It was sitting on the board with a giant question mark. I pose that all to you. Love is stronger than all. Let's look out for each other. That should be the norm, especially for Grover Beach.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wish to speak on this item? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? No? Well, then I will close public comment on this item. First, I just want to say that this is a great starting point, and I really appreciate staff for digging through all the ordinances, practices, and putting it all together in one document. I'm going to do things a little bit differently, and I would like to make a motion to form an ad hoc committee so that two of us can really sink into this. And I know that other cities have voluminous handbooks, but I would like to also have a voluminous handbook. So I would like to move that we create an ad hoc committee with two of us to really look into this even further and do research, et cetera.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. So can we now discuss? And at this point, I think that council members can bring up items that they would like to really discuss and like have two of us discuss further with along with staff. And I will start to my left.
Yeah. So, and I'll just say off the bat too, it's up, you know, I'd like to serve on this ad hoc committee because there are a lot of different things I did notice that this initial draft we could improve upon too. One of the things everyone up here knows is that, you know, this role isn't quite what everyone thinks it is. It's actually a lot more different. There's a lot of different ways that we could really make this.
I can interject really quickly because there was a motion that was put out there. The discussion would be limited to the discussion on that motion and then a vote on that motion, and then we can bring it back for discussion after.
So do we have any discussion on creating the ad hoc? And I would like to further that discussion. It sounds like Councilmember Wyrick would like to be on it. I would also like to be on it, unless there's any other poll. Okay. All right. So then can we have a roll call on this motion for the ad hoc committee?
I do actually have a quick question. Oh. Your input then would come back to us for our opinion.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mayor D.
Yes.
Councilmember Wyrick.
Yes.
Councilmember McCory Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Thank you for that guidance. And I don't think I've ever made a motion first, so that was weird. I was like, oh, wait, you said my name. Okay, so thank you so much. I'm really excited to have that ad hoc committee to bring it back to the council for further discussion. But moving forward, continue with your comments, Councilmember Wyrick.
Yep. I mean, I think it's a good start as far as putting a lot of different practices together. The point I was making earlier is that since right now these are just how we've done things, basically. But since it's a different experience, everyone here knows that there are certain, you know, parts that become a little rougher starts than others, that I think a lot of those pieces of, if we knew this stuff earlier, if we had the opportunities earlier to put this in there to make us better council members right off the gate, too, because to your point, Councilmember Corey Driscoll, is if someone said, maybe I want to be on the council and stuff, and they go through this and they're like, maybe I should start learning this stuff now. Maybe I should start figuring these things out now, that we could really provide that pathway that's a lot more clear. And there is a lot of things actually in our municipal code that spread throughout the municipal code, though. That's the catch, that we should be integrating more into this too. So that's one part I think we'll definitely have to leverage staff and stuff to make sure we put them in the correct manner too, because we do have a part that says Article 2, Administration, Chapter 3, City Council. There's different pieces in that, and also other parts in code. Now, one of the catches, though, that was mentioned is our goal-setting workshop that we had back in March on the governance norms. Mm-hmm. I think that needs to be looked at a little bit more distinctly as well, because that was done under an agenda item of goal-setting for 2 years. The idea that it suddenly becomes permanent, I think that that's a different kind of conversation than looking at doing things for 2 years. And it did happen pretty quickly, too. It was one of those areas that they're a little bit vague, and in practice would have to be a lot more clear, too. I mean, that's why I always even brought up during that goal-setting workshop, keep confidential things confidential. Are we talking about legally confidential? what was it, the idea of someone says, hey, you know, please don't share this? Because that also could go against the part where it says, you know, as far as you know, not having people be surprised, basically, too. There's different pieces that, on a practical basis, how these actually are done should be cleaned up a little bit more, too. And I do think that there's practices that need to be put in there so that council members don't get surprised. Like, for instance, when our email addresses, we get them for city council's accounts. Now, if you look in the account settings, it doesn't have the auto-forwarded part. But, yes, our emails are automatically BCC to staff. And I wouldn't want someone who's new to the council to be surprised by that dynamic, where it's like, if it's in here, they know that. The public knows that. It's super clear. And even things that when I first got on the council, one of the things I found helpful is that I asked staff if I could do the touring of all the different parks, different city facilities, right off the gate. And that was super helpful, especially for a lot of conversations that did come later. So even having pieces like that where they have that opportunity, and explicitly, because of people's work schedules, you know, we don't know if someone has a 9-to-5 job where they literally can't wait, leave during normal business hours. So for these kind of critical parts, to have it in policy that, yes, if they could arrange, they have to arrange it after hours or on weekends to make those certain particular points happen, then that's allowable. And there's just a lot of different aspects that I do hope we're able to make this just a lot more direct, because one of the pieces that's in there, it mentions the city manager's role. Well, the catch is we actually do have in our municipal code this part that does talk about the city manager's role. There's parts in state statute. There's a contract. I don't want things to get too muddied also as far as where our role is in creating other people's roles, because this is a handbook that's for us, too. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of aspects that I'll be bringing up in this ad hoc committee. And one of the fun ones, too, is making sure that we do not do things that actually increase risk of litigation liabilities that way, too, since there's some natural parts that we could all just shouldn't do and don't do. So
yeah,
those are different pieces you'll see.
Perfect. Well, we'll be able to hash it out a little bit further in our ad hoc committee. Anything else that we want to put attention on? Okay. Tori.
Yes. I would really caution about making it voluminous. I can't even say that word. I think it's important to make it user-friendly. And less is more in a lot of ways. And, like, I really like the format of this and the ability to read through it so quickly and find what I need to find. And if it's really thick, the punchline is 98% of the people aren't going to read it, even if they're sitting on council. Me being one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. So the user-friendliness of this I really appreciate, and I would hate to see that go away in an effort to try to put every single variable in every situation in every possible component. And maybe if there are some things that you want to extend, that could almost be in footnotes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, any discussion? Okay. Just on that point, I definitely think that there were some items when I was looking through it that I would love to see expanded a little bit. Not every single, but again, that's what we can hash out during the ad hoc committee before we bring it to the council for further direction. I also, let's see, I wanted to, no, we're good. Okay, that was it, because we're going to talk about it a little bit further. Okay, so we made our motion for the ad hoc committee. We have direction from the council to staff. Is there any other direction before?
Just quick for clarification, since the motion was to create the ad hoc committee, but actually the appointment of people onto it, is that a separate motion then? Or is that pretty clear?
No, it was clear that the motion included yourself and the mayor.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Was there anything else that we needed from that item to staff? Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Moving right along. Okay. So we will now go on to council committee reports, and I will start with council member McCory Driscoll.
Just one quick update, and that is with REACH. They are going to be coming out with their Uplift Economic Development grants within the next month or so, and those will be available on upliftcentralcoast.org. And that's it.
Good. Okay. Council Member Tuggle.
I had the Homeless Service Oversight Council meeting since we last met. One big win, 409 affordable homes have come online or will come online in 2025 in the county. We spent a fair amount of time looking at federal impact and trying to navigate an unknown environment. And I know that affordable housing is super important, and we hear it a lot in our conversations here in Grover. And I think it's important to remember that affordable housing isn't, and they really made the point in this meeting, it's not free market viable. And so like what we're doing on Grand is a city business partnership. And we have plenty of affordable homes that people want to build, but they don't have the resources to build them because they're just not financially viable. So as easy it is to say that, like, oh, we want affordable homes, we can't require the free market to make them. We can incentivize, which I think we've done a brilliant job with here in Grover, and those homes are coming online. But the truth is the wait list is going to be extensive for all of them. And then I also had a Zone 3 meeting here. Primary takeaways, there were two large items that were overspent in the budget. One was for material costs that are going to be given back, and the other is for the ongoing litigation fees. One of the plaintiff's attorneys and one of the plaintiffs came to the meeting and spoke. The Zone 3 committee has asked for legal counsel because we are stepping into territory that we're not certain what we can and cannot say as a group. And we have some access as council members, but we have at-large members who have no idea where the law lies. So hopefully the Zone 3 committee will get some access to that. And then we looked at numbers. We're at 87% capacity. And again, if we continue with normal rainfall and continue to have to release at the rate we currently are underneath the litigation, by fall of 2026, we'll be at 67%. That's not great news, but sorry, I'm going to end on that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Councilmember Weyrich, key takeaways.
None of my committee assignments met since the last meeting, so no report.
Wonderful. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, key takeaways.
Key takeaways. The Integrated Waste Management Authority, we met and they got a report from the Director Kobe Sky. He provided his update on staffing, edible food recovery initiatives, electronic waste collections improvements, and the IWMA's local task force activities. We had contract approval for outsourcing our human resource functions. We also established an intern position and temporary administrative role. And on our regular agenda, we adopted the resolution to apply for grants and reimbursement programs from 25 to 2030 and review and approval of the fiscal year 23-24 audit and financial statements. We also approved our calendar for that year. Let's see, closed session, we had some negotiation with labor representatives and property negotiations. Hopefully when I come back next meeting, we'll have sold the property at 270 Oso Street. We do have two offers on it right now. We're just waiting for the appraisal. Okay, if you want detailed information, you can go to IWMA.com and look into that meeting. Also met with the, well, actually, I didn't make the meeting. I missed the meeting. I thought it was at 1:30 and it was at 9 a.m. but I did watch it, which was a very long meeting at the Air Pollution Control District. We only meet a few times a year, so it's a lot of stuff to cover, but I kind of shortened it up here. The meeting covered multiple topics, including financial statement updates, employee compensation adjustments, public outreach efforts, grant opportunities, and updates for the district's various programs. Highlights included a review of emission deduction projects, public education initiatives and technical programs like landfill gas management and air quality monitoring. The district also discussed new grant programs, community engagement strategies, and operational performances, emphasizing ongoing efforts to meet air quality standards, reduce toxic emissions, and support regional climate goals. The board approved several budget adjustments, grant acceptance, and program updates to enhance air quality and community health initiatives. And you can go to cleanair.org to watch the 3-hour meeting. Three and a half a day.
Gosh.
It was longer than that. Okay.
All right.
That's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I did not have any committees since we last met. So I will now move on to council communications, and I will start with Councilmember McCrory Driscoll. Key takeaways.
key takeaway was the block party was super fun. And I thought that everyone did an amazing job. So bringing a new event to any community is not easy and not inexpensive. And so what you guys did with a very small little budget and a lot of team players that were willing to just roll up their sleeves this weekend and do it, I thought was amazing. And everything I heard from the businesses surrounding was great. So thank you very much for that. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Okay, Councilmember Tuggle.
Yeah, I thought the block party was great. The only person, I guess not really a person, but that didn't enjoy it was my puppy. She said there was too many people, and these dogs thought she was a dog. And she was like, I'm not a dog. I need you to back it up. But other than that, we had a great time. And then the Dunes Run was fun. I do think there was a blood drive the day before, so I thought it'd be this great weekend. Do note, they're not kidding. Don't run the next day. So other than that, the Dune Run was a lot of fun, and it was neat to see all different ages, abilities. My husband keeps pointing out that I got beat by a guy in his 80s who wasn't wearing shoes. Said, stop, no. That's rude. But it was a good time.
Good. Okay, Councilmember Wyrick.
Yeah, no, I do want to thank the community services staff and their partners with the Rotary Club of Grover Beach and Central Coast Amateur Radio Group for making the Dune Run another good year, too. And yes, congratulations to those who did medal up. I didn't, but people also told me I should have probably gone off my phone, too, during it. So there's that. And yes, the block party was great, too. And actually, one thing I found really nice, too, was how when it came to Monarch Dunes Veterinary Clinic, that's right there in that spot, how it added a very cool dynamic for, yes, all maybe not all pets, but a lot of the pets and stuff too added a good dynamic. So it was good to see a business that was right there get different exposure and engage people in the community, in addition to just seeing a lot of different residents. And one thing I can't let go is that earlier that morning on the 20th, I was at EcoSlo's annual San Luis Obispo County Creeks to Coast Cleanup, which is actually our local version of the California Coastal Cleanup International Coastal Cleanup Day event. And we did it right off West Grand Avenue. There's actually a lot of people cleaning up, so the beach probably got pretty spotless during that time, outside of all the microplastics there. And it was always disappointing to see still how many cigarette butts end up on the beach, too. And eventually, maybe we'll get on top of that in life. But, it's always good to see a lot of people in the community continue to make sure that our place is clean. And I've been doing this since a kid, so it's cool to see all the little kids participate, too.
Mayor Pro Tem? Key takeaways.
The block party was great. I hear a lot of great things about it. Thank you, staff. And Larry's not here, but he did a wonderful job organizing it. I do want to have a retraction. I didn't post the video. I think maybe the mayor might have posted the video of her dunking our city manager.
I did hear
in the background that she cheated, but she actually didn't cheat. When the ball hit the target, it didn't sink him, so she ran up and hit it. So I think several other people did the same thing too, but there wasn't any cheating involved. But anyway, it was a great event. I also want to put a personal thank out to the police chief and his staff for last weekend rescuing my wife's little dog. Anita and I had to be out of town, and one of our dogs got out, and the police hustled up there and got her and threw her in the garage, and we appreciate that. Enjoy those cookies. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll start with this, and then I'll go back to the our public comment that we had earlier. For the block party, it was wonderful, and City Manager Bronson and I took turns in the dunk tank, and because we had, usually you would use a softball for it, and it hits the target, and then you drop. So there were things behind the dunk tank, and we thought it was a safety concern, so we used tennis balls instead. So if somebody hit the target, which I believe my grandmother thought that she hit the target four or five times. No, I think it was once, but I was dunked many times. So that's what happened. So thank you so much for saying that. But there was no, I mean, it did look like I did. But yeah, so wonderful time. Okay, I would like to go back to some of the comments made during general public comment. I just want to start with a question for Mr. Lamelli. Is there any law or policy that disallows council members to meet with their community and talk to their community about projects, et cetera?
So I'll give you the typical attorney answer is it depends. There is no law that prevents that from happening.
Council members are allowed to talk with residents in the city and their constituents. What we do want to be careful of is where, in speaking with constituents or residents of the city, if they start providing viewpoints from other council members with whom they've spoken. In those instances, we need to be very careful because that could potentially lead to a Brown Act violation and allegations of serial meetings. That would typically happen if one individual has spoken to four council members and then starts telling the other council members what the thoughts of their peers are, then that would create a Brown Act violation. And so I would just say probably prefacing the conversations with them to ensure that if they have spoken with other council members, they refrain from telling you really what the thoughts of that council member were in those conversations to avoid any Brown Act implications.
Okay, thank you. And then Mr. Bronson, last meeting we had commented on Central Coast Blue and the city of Pismo Beach, and I would like you to repeat what you said from last time, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council members. We do understand the need and importance of outreach regarding the proposed Pismo Beach project for Central Coast Blue. We are working with Pismo Beach staff on responses to questions such as the status of the EIR for the project, as well as upcoming outreach that they intend to do. They did have an initial council meeting back on June 23rd where they provided some initial information about the current smaller version of the project. So that information is online and available. My understanding is that they are having a project update at an upcoming council meeting over the next month. And when that date is scheduled, we'll be sure to let the council know and the public as well. Pismo Beach is also working on a community meeting sometime over the next month so that they can share with nearby residents what's proposed and answer questions and really open up a line of dialogue and outreach. And again, once that is scheduled, we'll be sure to let the council know. And Pismo Beach is in the lead role in communicating regarding their project. And so we'll be sure to send them questions and direct people to their information staff once items come up.
Thank you so much. And I do believe that there was a community member that had a neighborhood party that I believe Councilmember Weirich attended this neighborhood gathering to receive questions regarding Central Coast Blue. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's why I reported at the end of our last meeting as far as that part that yes. Participant in,
yeah.
Yes.
So I believe that there is the outreach is happening. And to address the question about the consolidated permit, for me, I don't think that I meant a mute point. I just meant that I would like to hear from the city of Pismo Beach. And then in addition to that, we have so many things that are on our agendas currently that I would like to hear from city of Pismo Beach, hear of the scope of the project before we make any further movements with pushing other items before we go to this consolidated permit. So that was just to address your question. I guess that's what I meant by that. So I hope that clears a little bit of stuff up. But again, I speak to Mayor Waggy probably at least once a month. We have a mayor's meeting and they are very much on board with the outreach, as Mr. Bronson just alluded to, or just mentioned as well, is that they're very willing. And in fact, I believe a couple of community members went to their city council meeting, and Mr. Garcia did give business cards out to those individuals and answered questions from neighbors. So I believe the outreach is out there, and I hope that we continue to do our job in representing. So that was for the public comment. And other than that, again, very happy about the Dune Run. It was very exciting. That was my first time running in it. And yeah, it was really cool. And then the block party was just phenomenal. Again, thank you so much to the community services for putting together something so quickly and with such a great positive feedback on it. It was absolutely phenomenal. I heard we need to do this twice a year. So maybe that's a discussion we need to have.
I think a weekly farmer's market, I'd go even bigger, but on Beach Boulevard.
I think Larry is twitching right now, wherever he is. His ears are ringing. Okay. All right. So we'll conclude that, and I will pass it over to the city manager for reports and comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly, you all have touched on the Dune Run Block Party very well. I'll just acknowledge that it was a team effort. We had a vision earlier this year. Your council allocated $10,000 of funding, seed funding, to help get this off the ground, and ultimately we delivered on a magnificent community event. Many people in this room were at the event. We had probably peaked at about 500 people at one point, but we had a steady stream throughout the event, and it was just a great day of and for community in Grover Beach. A lot of positivity, and we look forward to seeing this continuing to go forward. A huge shout out to Larry Kim, our community services supervisor, for coordinating it. Rosie Rodriguez, in her capacity as well, public works, police, we devoted quite a bit of staff time to making sure it was a safe and fun event. And at 5 o'clock, traffic was flowing smoothly on Grand Avenue once again, as if there was no event earlier in the day. So great job, team, in pulling it all together. And the Dune Run, again, it was a great community beach activity once again. Lastly, I'll just highlight that at our next council meeting, which is October 14th, note the Tuesday date, given the holiday we have on Monday the 13th, we'll have an update on Ramona Park improvements. There's a lot of work happening on the park right now. You can see the sidewalk, walkway beginning to take shape in the middle of the park, and a lot of dirt is being turned in various directions. We'll have an update on the construction, an update on the public community donation program and how that is how that wrapped up. The paver deadline is September 30th. So for those of you who have not yet gotten your paver in, next Tuesday is the deadline. And we did hear some comments regarding the online application. We'll be sure to look at that with the foundation, who's ultimately running the paver program. And then we'll be remitting the funds to the city. Every dollar for a paver goes to the paver program into the city for this particular park project. The sales are really good, and we look forward to reporting out the results here in just a few weeks. Lots happening at Ramona Park to make that into the jewel that our city deserves and expects, and we look forward to seeing it come to fruition. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much. All right. City attorney reports and comments, and why don't you lead us into closed session?
Perfect. I only have one comment, and that was just to make sure to acknowledge the city clerk and all of her efforts also as part of the recodification for the new municipal code. Moving on to the closed session items, there are two items this evening. The first item is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 or 3 of subdivision D of Government Code section 54956.9, two cases. The second item is public employee performance evaluation, Government Code section 54957, title city manager.
All right, thank you. I will now open for public comment on this item. Does anybody wish to come up and speak? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? All right, I will close public comment and we will head into closed session.